Who's ready for an absolute bloodbath? Donald Trump, in an appearance in Ohio, gives the liberal media exactly what they're looking for. A quote to take out of context. Plus, a new study from the FRC shows that perinatal hospice care might be the next place pro-lifers need to go. And a Palestinian influencer literally goes to TikTok to bite the hand that feeds them. Today on the Palmetto Family Matters show. Welcome in. It's a Monday, March 18th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. Justin Dang. Hall, Mitch Prosser here with you. Got a lot to get to on today's program. I would like to remind you on this Monday that we have all of our shows available for you on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or PalmettoFamily.org or the Palmetto Family Council app.
That's right.
You might need to go back and listen to those for the next several weeks to get your fix of the Palmetto Family Matters show because, well...
Justin may not be here very... provide some context
Yes, my wife and I, as you who are listeners know, my wife and I are expecting our first child any day now. When that happens, shocking, I will not be recording podcasts three times a week.
Why not?
I don't know if that's high on the priority list for a little bit. So, just understand, we may be here Wednesday, we may not be. Just know that you can listen to all of our shows. They're all available on the interwebs. Now, what is also available on the interwebs is the situation with the former president, possibly future president, giving a speech in Ohio where he, of course... The teleprompters weren't working, and he said, let's not even worry about the teleprompter because that's more fun.
Dun, dun, dun. And all of the speechwriters quit.
Here's President Trump speaking in Dayton. By the way, the Dayton Flyers are a 7
seed. Made
the
tournament.
They're a 7 seed in the tourney.
You have them making it past the first round?
I do.
Nice.
I do. I might have them in Sweet 16. My bracket's over there. Whoa. Here's the president. Here's the full clip. The full clip that sent the media.
You mean you didn't pull part of it?
Like, no, I pulled the entire clip. I pulled the entire context of what he's saying. Here you go. Here's the former president.
Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it. Went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line. And you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories. A friend of mine,
Okay, so that's Donald Trump. Again, he's talking about the auto industry. That China is building major manufacturing centers in Mexico, and that he will impose 100% tariffs, not a very conservative viewpoint, on the cars, couldn't be sold here. And if he's not elected, it will be a bloodbath. Now, Merriam-Webster, they haven't changed the definition yet. Bloodbath. A great slaughter. A notably fierce, violent, or destructive contest or struggle, like what's happening in Haiti, or a major economic disaster. He literally used the correct word. One of the few times ever he used the correct word, COFEFE. And the media runs with it. Trump says some migrants are not people. He actually did say that. And predicts a bloodbath if he loses. Video Trump mentions bloodbath if he loses election during rally, ABC News. NBC News. Trump says there will be a bloodbath if he loses the election. Bloodbathgate. Yes, Trump meant the auto industry, at first anyway. Trump says some migrants are not people and warns of bloodbath if he loses. Let me go back. My favorite one is from the Today Show. Let me see if I can find it. I can't.
Oh, dear.
Oh, sorry. Trump bloodbath comment is talking about auto industry, campaign team says. Or full clip says.
Right.
So this is intentional in the open. So in 1984, they actually have a Ministry of Truth that takes care of this. And, oh, they said that chocolate rations were down. Nope, chocolate rations are up. Boom, out. This is happening in real time. In real time. They're changing this. By the way, a new Politico article, in on the joke, the comedic trick Trump uses to normalize his behavior. His supporters love it. Critics call it a sign of his autocratic tendencies. Yes, because Stalin and Hitler really knew how to tear the house down. Seriously?
Yeah.
Seinfeld's funny. Is he an autocrat? Anyway, not the point.
Yeah.
The point is, should he have used that term?
No.
Probably not, but I'm not even mad about it. Because that's a definition of the word.
Yeah. I just think he uses... I think at times he uses poorly chosen words.
Does he... Oh, wow. Is he the first politician to ever use hyperbolic language? Oh, you know what? Great segue, Mitchell.
Dear.
Great segue. Because listen to this. Because I've been told now... okay, it's obvious. Trump is a violent man. And he wants bloodshed. Again, by the way, January 6th, the only person killed was Ashley Babbitt. Anyway, and all of the talking heads in the national media are telling me this, and they're bringing on politicians of a certain ilk to back up these claims. Well, listen to this. I have pulled 2 minutes worth.
Oh, dear.
2 minutes worth of politicians doing the same exact thing. Here you go.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
Biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right up to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. I said, even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
So, remember all of those? I remember most of those, because most of those have happened since 2016.
Yeah, there's one, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who was the press secretary his first press secretary.
Well, no, she was...
No, that's right.
No, she was before Kaylee. She was number
two? Three.
No, you had Scaramucci.
And Spicer before that. Okay, so...
I think she was number three or number four.
Okay, she had to leave a restaurant, she and her family, because they were being, like, assaulted.
Do we remember a year ago or two when Supreme Court justices had people outside of their homes trying to kill them?
So, I get it, but I don't think you can line up blindly behind someone and say, oh, this guy's the second coming, or Christ reincarnate, or that he's your political savior, and not also say, hey, he chooses his words poorly at times. I mean, I would say that about
Was it a poor word choice, though? Honestly, was it a poor word choice? He's saying that he's talking about the auto industry, and that if we don't get control of the EV issue and we don't stop China...
If you're a New York street fighter, no. If you're the president of the United States or want to be the president of the United States, yes. We choose our words in a way that is becoming and befitting of the presidency of the United States. It's presidential. If you want to, and some of you out there right now are saying, I want a street fighter in the White House. Okay, then reelect. If you don't, then, and I've heard this a lot recently, and boy, I'm going to lose a lot of friends today. 330 plus million Americans, and these are the two that we've settled on.
It's a great indicator of where we are as a country. Yeah. There's no question about that.
So, and we're hard on the Biden administration and he himself at times. I think we also need to be equally as hard on anyone else who is bumbling, fumbling, stumbling across their words.
Is he bumbling across his words? That word was picked specifically.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't picked specifically because of what is being claimed to have been the reason. It was chosen specifically because he's talking about an economic problem, and there is a definition of bloodbath that talks about economic disaster. Okay, here's your question, and I'm not trying to get too hot under the collar about this because everyone who knows me and who's listened to this show knows that I have significant problems with Donald Trump's conservative track record. But would you rather have a guy who makes a full-throated statement like that, like, I'm going to protect the American auto industry, or would you rather have this?
Great to have you here, and it's very happy to see Northern Ireland's Executive Assembly reinstated last month. Now Northern Ireland is a fully functioning government again, and I didn't invite your colleague. Young people in Northern Ireland represent the great peace dividend of the Belfast Good Friday Agreement.
This is being categorized as normal. He slurred his way through an entire speech.
Yeah, the answer to the question is no. Do I want this or this? The answer is no, because it requires the response of yes, that I do want this one. The answer is I want neither. And that's where I think there's a difficulty, because you're choosing, and I understand. I get it. We're always going to be choosing between the lesser of two evils, or the lesser of, two, because Jesus isn't running for president. I get that. But at the very same time, whether you could go back, historically speaking, when's the last time we took great pride in who we were electing as president of the United States? And for some of you, that was Trump. For some of you, that was Obama. For some of you, that was Biden. For some of you, it was George W. or George H.W. Bush. Some of you have to go all the way back to the Gipper himself, Reagan. Whatever. Unless you're from Arkansas and you're like, I like him a whole lot. He's my favorite. Whatever. The issue I have is, where are we in this culture? Where are we in this nation, the greatest nation ever on the face of the planet, when we're picking two nigh-octogenarians who one can't put a sentence together because he strings all the words together in some sort of wood, I won't even say word soup, endless salad soup and breadsticks. Mm-hmm. This isn't even word salad, this is word soup. And the other one who chooses naturally incendiary terms to try to burn the house down. And the answer is no, neither. Now, if I have to choose one or the other, I'm going to choose the one that's most conservative and aligns most closely with my values, regardless, irrespective of their word choices.
Since 2015, if the former president said, I saved a puppy today as it was running out in front of a car, and I saved its life, these same mainstream media who have lost all credibility would choose to frame it in a way Donald Trump tries to strangle dog as it seeks to jump into a car. Like, that's literally how it would go. So forgive me if it seems like I'm shifting 180 on this now, because I don't think I am, but this is absurd.
No, and I see it.
This is absurd. Everyone needs to understand that the man didn't govern the way he talked.
No, and that's true.
The man who was the 45th president of the United States campaigned wildly to the right and to the populist era, but he governed much more moderately and much more centrist than many.
Right.
He's going to do that again. Well, he's going to do that again. The rallies are meant to charge the base to get them out to vote for him.
Yeah, and I get
the policy. And if you just look at the dang policy, it's the same as what Nikki Haley was proposing. It was much less conservative than what Ron DeSantis was proposing. That's just a fact.
Right.
And so it doesn't matter what he says on the campaign trail. I just think this is an obvious attempt to frame the narrative that Donald Trump is an evil man who is going to slit the throats of his enemies. He is literally going to get on Capitol Hill and execute Joe Biden. Like, that's what they're going to perpetuate.
Yeah, and I get that.
Because it's dealing in emotion. It's dealing in fear. It's dealing in trying to delegitimize any opponent to the one in power. That's just, there's no other way to look at it. The FRC, the Family Research Council has a new study from the Catholic University of America. They partnered with them. It's the first phase results of a study of 11 perinatal hospice programs surveying 82 mothers who participated in these. The study found that perinatal hospices offer a range of valuable resources to women. They include counseling, sonograms, prayer, support groups, and a birth plan. High percentages of women found each of these services, quote, very helpful. And overall, women expressed a high degree of satisfaction with the care they received, with 83% reporting that the level of emotional support was, quote, very supportive, and 79% of women unable to note anything from the program that was not helpful in their grieving process. Importantly, 55% of the mothers in the study reported that when the doctors informed them about their child's diagnosis, this was typically mostly for women whose children had fatal fetal anomalies. They were either not going to survive in utero or they were going to die shortly after birth. And the physician's recommendation was to end the baby's life in 55% of those. And only 19% received information about perinatal hospice when they were given this recommendation. The point here is, as we look to the abortion issue and as we look to the abortion debate, pro-life debate, however you want to frame it, in both this state and across the country, this is one of those touch point issues that people have. If the child can't live, we've had those discussions at length here on this show. A more informed public is always going to be better suited to meet any challenge.
Absolutely.
The more we make women known about, make it known to women about these sorts of services, we could see, and again, we can't just treat a human life, it's not gonna live long, so see ya. We aren't guaranteed tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So if it starts in one area, it will just simply progress. It would be helpful for more and more women to know, and men for that matter, fathers,
yeah, for sure,
to know about these services, because these services not only provide support and health care. The vice president claims that no other place does this except Planned Parenthood. But these services are vital, and I've never been inside of a Planned Parenthood. I don't plan on darkening the doorway of one.
FACE Act makes sure of that.
The FACE Act does make sure of that. And I don't want to go near it anyway. The point is, I would be hard-pressed to imagine that they offer any sort of counseling services. They might. They might. I don't know.
So I'll say two things there. I think the first thing is that since Roe, since 1973, and even beyond that, medicine, science, and our understanding of it has greatly changed. I mean, we are leaps and bounds beyond where we were, 51 years ago. Along with that is the information that helps the pro-life community in its approach to how we handle these difficult issues. Mm-hmm. And that leads me into the second thing. I don't know why Facebook Reels and YouTube thought it was a good idea for me to watch people with Down syndrome this past weekend. But
it's because there's a push. Is today? Go ahead.
Is today Down syndrome?
I think it is.
But I watched a video of a young man, and probably honestly, he's probably 35 or 40 on Capitol Hill, who talked about his life having value and matter and meaning. And I think it was through Ashton Kutcher, I believe.
It's a wonderful video.
Who's an advocate for these young people, or anyone with Downs for that matter. Mm-hmm. There's something to be said about a culture that wants to eliminate that. When my wife and I were first, it was our third child, the doctor, I could take you to the doctor's office in Augusta, Georgia. And the doctor said, do you want us to run this testing the flaps in the neck, folds, that sort of thing, to make sure? And we were like, okay, first of all, that's coming out of pocket. Second of all, it's not going to change what we do with the baby. We're going to have this baby.
Right.
Because there's this notion that if the child has a fetal anomaly, a fatal fetal anomaly is the cute way we say it now. And I don't mean to say cute, but that's the way we say it now. If they have that, then I'm not going to have the child. So what we're really saying here is that certain lives are more valuable than others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
what we're saying. That's what society's saying.
That's dangerous.
Yep.
I've hung out, had the opportunity to spend lots of time through Special Olympics and other opportunities with special needs people, exceptional students and people with learning disabilities and autism spectrum, all of it. My son is on that spectrum, and I don't want to keep beating that. But listen, and I'll say his name. Ethan's life is so valuable to his mother and I, and there are times where we have to reiterate, especially now that he's in middle school, we have to reiterate, hey, son, you know, you matter. You mean something. Because sometimes, you know, middle schoolers are tough and cruel, and that's just the way life works. But we get the opportunity to pour into him and say, your life has value. So for these perinatal hospice centers that are covering this for women, I'm seeing the long-term results of this 12 years after the birth of a child. For them to understand what it looks like to have a child with a need, a special need, you know, or something that may challenge them in the future, does not mean that that child does not deserve to live. And so,
right.
That's huge. That's significant. And I hope that morphs, hopefully sooner rather than later, the way the world and the culture at large views these children.
Exactly. World Down Syndrome Day, by the way, is Thursday this week.
So there you
Thursday,
go. March That's probably 21st. Why I was seeing them.
It's probably why you were seeing Love it a little it. Bit more. Final thing on the program today, we go to Palestine or Gaza. Here is an influencer. The United States is airdropping support,
food, and supplies,
and other things. And this young man decides he's going to show us all what they're getting. Take a look.
So as the airdrops have been dropping in the north, I've been able to buy this today from the northern part of Gaza. That's where most of the airdrop has been dropped. And it's from the Department of Defense, the United States of America. This is the airdrop they drop on us, this small, and then all the airstrikes that they also hit us with. So I wondered what's in it. It comes for free, but at the end we still have to buy it. Let's see what's in it. So starts with the top, crackers, and then applesauce. And then, oh, wow, gum. Wallah balhum fayi qurayi. What's this? This is like some, I don't know. We don't see these here. And energy bar. This is the most thing I'm excited to have. French vanilla. Wow. Cashews. So nuts. Peanut butter. And
so overall, it's one of the worst meals I've ever had. I literally ate a piece of everything because, yeah, and imagine I'm fasting all day, hungry, haven't eaten anything, and then I came to eat this. Nothing tastes good. Only the peanut butter tastes like our Canadian peanut butter. Everything else, this whole meal is like a 2 out of 10. Not even a 1 out of 10, actually. This is torturing us more than it's being aid.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Why don't you cry me a river?
Jordan River.
Hey, yeah. Hey, so here's what I'll tell this young gentleman. Perhaps if people from Gaza hadn't attacked Israel on October the 7th,
in his own government,
you would not be eating an American-made MRE, which is short for meal ready to eat.
Right.
I've heard troops downrange talk, complain, bellyache.
Sure.
About MREs.
Sure.
And there are certain ones that are better than others, and there's ones with the it's like this thermocell that you crack open and it heats up the soup almost instantaneously. The fan favorite is teriyaki chicken, and you know it's a good one if you get the M&Ms, and they have special ways to mix all this together. And okay, if your country had not attacked Israel,
should we?
Unprovoked.
Yeah. At the beginning of the video, he says, I had to go buy this. Well, that's a problem.
That means your own people are taking advantage of you.
Correct.
Or correct. Some third party.
By the way,
is there a point of sale between the airplane
yes.
and the ground?
Yes, it's called Hamas. It's called Hamas shooting
but that's,
people.
But that's not like a giant red cross point of sale or a red, white, and blue American flag point of sale.
We're dropping the aid for the people Hamas is then collecting the aid, shooting the people in the back, and then charging them for it. Yes, that's happening.
So the point of sale is on his end or their end, not correct. Necessarily the American or Red Cross.
Yesterday, 8 million pounds of food entered Gaza by land. 4 pounds of food per capita. So you tell me how that's torture. You tell me how that's anti-Palestine.
Now, I made a joke one time, and I got chided. It was over these snack cakes, Little Debbie cakes, and they're the ones with the raisins in them.
The oatmeal raisin cream
pies? No. They actually literally have, maybe. But
they have the cream in the middle?
Yeah, and they've got raisins.
But they're not the oatmeal cream pies. They're the raisin. Yeah, they're the raisin cream pies.
Yeah, and I took a picture of it, and I said, is this considered child abuse? Now, I was trying to make a joke. I understand how that joke was insensitive. Yeah. And okay, if he's trying to make a joke.
He's not trying to make a
joke. I get it. Why don't you cry me a, I'm trying to think of another river. Yeah.
Good luck.
Boo-hoo. There's cheese in that package for all of the wine that I hear.
Do you realize how much protein was in that?
A lot. That's what they're built around. The MRE is built to fulfill a need for protein so that you don't get as hungry.
Yeah.
And they're probably dropping two of those for every person.
But, you know, if you really want to support Palestine, I think there is going to be a drag show, a Satan drag show in support of Palestine.
So. Yeah, and I'm sure that the UN, when Hamas took over the UN complex in that area, they were probably handing out steak dinners and stuff like that. Totally.
Oh yeah.
And I'm sure that before that, Hamas was feeding everyone well.
Sure. Yeah. Gaza's been great. Hamas has been doing a great job over there.
Yep.
So much so that apparently you're complaining about free aid.
Cashews. Crackers. You been to the grocery store lately?
And I imagine all of those things were halal.
Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt.
Or at least
it.
Kosher.
Yeah.
Halal, not kosher. Halal. Yeah.
Yeah. They probably. The halal. Well, option. I will nearly guarantee that those MREs follow the dietary restrictions of the region because we're insensitive jerks that just, drop food on people for no apparent reason.
Yeah. How dare we? How dare we give people food?
And I want to trivialize the plight of many of the people in Palestine and the Gaza Strip. Don't want to trivialize it, but perhaps elect leaders that don't decide to do sneak attacks and blindside bombings on Israel.
They won't do that, though, because they like them. That's all the time we have today on the Palmetto Family Matters Show. Thank you so much for listening to today's program. Again, all of our shows are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, our app, the Palmetto Family website, palmettofamily.org. We will see you at some point. Have a great day, possibly a great week.
Maybe even a good month.
For Mitch Prosser, I'm Justin Hall. Thank you so much for watching, listening to the fastest growing and strongest conservative talk show.
This one?
In the state of South Carolina, the Palmetto Family Matters Show.